Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing very good. And we got a very special guest on. We got Barry Percival, and you guys all know him because he does the Disney Pod Survivor on Twitter. How you doing there, Bar?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're glad to have you, Bar. So how long have you been a Disney Podcast fan?
Oh, that's a good question. Not long, actually. I just started within the past couple months. I've never, ever listened to a podcast before until I came back from Disney and decided that I didn't know anything when I went down there. Any of the changes, any of the new experiences and things like that. I saw a podcast one day, started listening to it, and got hooked.
Yeah, we've all been there, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah. You must have been blown away, like, if you typed in Disney podcast or whatever on iTunes or whatever search engine you used, you probably just got an avalanche of podcasts that were out there.
Yeah, I was truly blown away. I had no idea the amount of people who actually did podcasts and people who actually loved to listen to them.
So what was the very first one you found, and how many of them did you listen to right away?
The first one I found it's called the Mad Hatter Chatter, and it was just off the wall funny, and probably the first couple days, I probably listened to 10 to 15 different ones.
Wow.
So you jumped right in. Like, me and Dan both started off with, what, WDW Radio and then Be Our Guest, correct, Dan?
Yeah, pretty much. Those were the two that got me started. I just remember back in the day when I started listening, I was like, you know, once I got the concept that these things were available and they're free, it's like they're giving this stuff away, all this great Disney information. It was like I found, you know, something I was looking for my whole life, and you know, I got addicted to podcasts, and you know, I listen to a bunch of them too. So it is pretty amazing when you stumble upon this this world out there of podcasting, and you know, not only for Disney type podcasts, but pretty much anything you might you know, like or enjoy, fishing or whatever. There's podcasts out there for everything. So it's pretty amazing that it's out there and it's pretty much all free.
If you have a hobby, there's a podcast pretty much.
Yeah.
So what's some of your favorite ones now, Bar? I mean, you've been online. We see you rate them all the time. So what are your actual favorites now?
Okay.
And we won't have any hard feelings if we're not. We understand. It's all business with you, Bar.
It's hard because since I do ratings, I do try to remove any you know, suspicion that I'm showing favoritism when I'm rating them. But you know, since you know the ones that got me hooked into actually listening every day was definitely Your podcast, Resort Loop, Dixie Landing's radio, and you know, Be Our Guest, and the WDW radio.
Yeah, and they all have different as I mean they all every one of us all have our own little style, I think. So they're all a little bit different. I like how they're all unique because I love all them shows too. The WDW radio is like a staple. It's like the old standby for me, but I like listening to different review. I like the different aspects that every show gives.
Yeah, and I kind of, like WDW radio is kind of like, listening to like Walter Cronkite or Dan Rather. It's like, it's there. You can
Count on it.
count on it. That's correct. Yes.
And we're the
Yeah, no.
Knucklehead Show.
No, and just to elaborate on what you were saying, Doug and Barry, I mean, it is true. I mean, all of those shows that you mentioned, Barry, each of them brings a little bit something different to the table. Some of them are news oriented, some of them do trip reports, some of them are, rather humorous and they kind of poke fun at things or maybe are a little more critical of Disney, but everybody kind of has their niche and that's what I enjoy about the Disney podcast community because there's room for everybody and there's people have different tastes but
There's
slightly
something for everybody.
different read on it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and something I would never, ever, ever would have realized is that there is a lot of podcasts that come from the UK
Oh
that
yeah.
covers this. I would never have thought that, and lo and behold, every corner you turn, there's a new one.
Some of
Yeah.
our best listeners, some of our favorite guests and listeners, well, we get a lot of email from over in the United Kingdom. We love it. It makes it feel like such a small world, no pun intended.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Barry, I don't know if you've ever experienced this when you've been down to Walt Disney World, but the Brits, when they vacation and they love Walt Disney World, they come over. But they usually, obviously it's a long flight. They usually stay for a minimum of 3 weeks. A lot of them stay for a whole month. So there is a huge, huge Disney or a Great Britain, presence in Walt Disney World. So after knowing that and understanding that after going for so many years, it doesn't surprise me that, there are a lot of great.
So Barry, do you like the regular Survivor? Is that how you came up with the podcast Survivor theme?
Yeah, exactly. Survivor is, it's a staple in American television, and so many people know what Survivor is and what the format is. And so what I wanted to do is bring that kind of format to ranking podcasts and doing a way where I can view where I could be like Jeff Probst and say, okay, you
You're eliminated.
yes, you're eliminated. Your show didn't live up to the hype.
Well, the thing is with me and Dennis is we're not going to outthink or outsmart anybody. Or hopefully we outlast everybody, but we ain't going to outthink
Right, you can outplay.
them.
Yeah, but I think it's a great concept because, what I noticed immediately, and it was interesting for me to hear you say you've been at this a couple of months because, all of a sudden you were on Twitter, at least that's where I first, stumbled across you, and, you were very active right away, and I believe that you've kind of, networked with a whole bunch of Disney podcasts, with a common theme, the podcast Survivor, obviously, but you have the polls, which I want to ask you about as well. But I think you do a great service to those of us that grind it out on a week in and week out basis doing these podcasts, that you do give us some recognition and maybe you expose some of the other podcasters, listeners to ours and vice versa. So I think you provide a great service, Barry.
Yeah, and that's what I was looking when I was starting to do this. Doug, you hit it right on the head when you said when you Google it, there's just tons and tons and tons of different podcasts out there, and then you were saying, you know, when you were looking at it, like I said, I was blown away. And unless you're an avid podcast listener, you're not going to know about the little man. And that's what I was trying to do is, okay, you know, there are a lot of big shows out there, but what about the little people? And that's what I was trying to do is trying to say, okay, let's be well-rounded so everyone gets a fair shake or a fair listen each week.
Oh, we really appreciate that. You're doing a good thing. You've even turned me on to a couple shows that I didn't know about. And I've listened to them, and I really appreciate what you're doing. And me and Den enjoy being in the polls. I mean, we ain't getting a ton of votes, but we enjoy being a part of it anyway. At least we get a chance to win, right, Den?
Right. If you don't buy a ticket, you can't win. So I mean, the fact that we're being mentioned with a lot of these great established podcasts, as well as some up and coming podcasts, it's all good. It's great company.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Barry, now, at first, I don't think I quite understood this, but I'll let you explain it for yourself. So I noticed that you in your Twitter feed, you put out some what you call mashups, and we all know what those are. But is that something for real that you'd like to see happen, or is that just in your mind, having listened to, you know, all these podcasts, you think it'd either be a good mix or maybe be so diverse that it would make for an interesting show? I'm just curious what your mindset is on the mashup angle.
Well, yeah, the perfect answer is answering the ABC, because you hit everything on the head that I'm looking for. Yes, I would like to see these happen. What I would like to see happen is people go out of their comfort zone and mash up, or as I would easily put, either show A joins show B. Show B would then carry either both shows, or show A and show B do one show on each podcast, or create a mega show. And the main reason why I'm doing it is that, again, to help the underdogs out there, so more people will get them recognized, going with either a main show or a new show that's getting some traction. And yeah, you know, I think there could prevent some different limitations on it, but I think in the long run, there have already been a couple podcasts that have mashed up, and I'd like to see a lot more, because I think it's something that the Disney community would really like.
So who did you want us to mash up with?
I had you guys mashing up with
was it WDW Geeks or something like that, or do I have that name right?
It's Geeking on WDW.
Okay. All right. I had it backwards.
it's a father-daughter podcast, and they do a lot of different, you know, off-the-wall topics. So it's just something I think the podcast community, I haven't seen it before, you know, and I'm still a podcast newbie, I would call myself, but I think this is something that if it works, I think it would bring attention to a lot more podcasts, but it also
we get the shows a little bit of different content.
Yeah, exactly.
So you talked about wanting to do your own show. What would your perfect podcast be? What are you looking to do with a podcast?
Well, you know, if I ever do a podcast, I know a lot of podcasts would like to have me come out and explain my rankings and give a reason for where everybody fell in the top 10 or if they became an honorable mention. My perfect podcast would carry that, but I would like something that's well-rounded, kind of like something that covers both WDW, Disneyland, but also is on the forefront of the latest trends and the latest, movies and things like that.
Okay, so you want it to be combined. You want to have movies every week, a little bit about Disneyland and a little bit about Disney World, and maybe even Disney Cruise Line or stuff like that, all included.
Right, and everything will be wrapped around the rankings. The rankings will be the most important, and the co-host, you know, we would have a discussion on the rankings, but that would be definitely the main topic.
Okay. No, it's a very, very interesting idea. And I guess it's great. It's good that you're getting all of this exposure to these different podcasts and different styles and different, different ways shows set up, so that, when you do decide to strike out on your own and do your own show, you hopefully you can pull the best from all of those shows and incorporate it into yours.
Exactly, and that's what I would like to do, is be able to say, okay, podcast A, WDW Main Street is our number one podcast this week. This is a little snippet of what they talked about. Let's explain why this was the top podcast of the week.
Now, do you always rate the top podcast by votes, or do you rate it by how you like them for that week?
No, I actually have four guidelines that I go through. The first one would be timing. I only rate those that fall into the week that I'm rating. So if it's a monthly podcast, I wait until it airs, and then it falls into that particular week. Same if it's biweekly, what have you. Number two is topic. I think topic is very important. I had a hard time in March because so many podcasts were doing March Madness things. Mm-hmm. So it made it kind of difficult trying
to... Well, that's why we dropped two each week, trying to give you something different.
So, and when you have a podcast doing, okay, let's do our March Madness on Disney songs, then the next one you listen to, let's do it on Disney movies. It kind of made it more difficult to decide, okay, is music better than movies or what have you. And number three is interaction. And I think interaction is very important. I like to hear the conversations between the host, the co-host, if there's a team of people that are there, and more importantly, how they treat the guests. Because when you have a guest on, it should be about them. And so I tried to incorporate that as well. And number four, I call me. And it's, I guarantee that I am not going to show favoritism when I do this. I am not going to say, just because I like your podcast, you need to be in the top 10. Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, critique us. What's our downfalls here, Barry?
I don't know. See, it's really, it's hard to rank. I mean, it's hard to actually listen and say, okay, man, Den's not on his game today. Well, that's not a reason for, you guys always stay on topic. You guys stay current. And I especially like, I like the interaction you had between you two, a lot of it. I always say my favorite ones are, two or three people, sitting together at a fishing hole and just shooting the breeze. And you guys do that perfectly.
Well, thank you. We're just looking to get better. We'll take it all with a grain of salt. We enjoy it. We want to be told what we're doing because we want to make the show better. We don't get mad at anything, do we, Dan?
No, not on the air anyways.
No.
But, no, Barry, and I appreciate the fact is how you answered that question because that was part of, well, actually it was Doug's vision initially, but that's pretty much how we – you know, going to our show was two guys sitting at the bar just talking about Disney, which, you know, you said fishing hole, but I think whether it's a bar or a fishing hole or a table, it doesn't really matter. That's what we really want to portray to our listeners, that we're just a couple of blue-collar guys talking about Disney. So I really appreciate the fact that that's how you interpret what we put across the airwaves, and that's great to hear.
Yeah, because the idea, Barry, was me when I first went down as a construction worker. I didn't want to go to Disney. I didn't think it was for me. And when I came home, I was, like, blown away, and I couldn't wait to go again. And I'm telling all my friends on the construction site, and that's where the idea came from.
Yeah, I remember the first time I went to Disney, and, you know, I didn't go at all growing up. I mean, we couldn't afford to go, and we were able to go in early 2000, and I remember the first time going and me saying, oh, it's Disney, big deal, you know. I don't know what the big, you know, hoopla is it, until I saw Cinderella's Castle for the first time.
Blows you away, don't it, Barry?
And I was, you know, I staggered back and I said, this is Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from then on, I've been a Disneyaholic.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, many, many, many people, including myself, you know, tell that same story, Barry. And, you know, that first time you step through the tunnels there when you go into the Magic Kingdom. And
go past train. You gotta love it.
I mean, literally, when you say you were taken back or you kind of took a step back, I mean, you know, it'll bring almost a tear to your eye. I don't know how to explain it. And, you know, if you're talking to somebody that's never gone, they're like, come on, man, get a grip, you know. But until you experience that and you know, you see the true magic of Disney and, you know, whether you have kids or you're single, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it hits everybody, you know, the same way. I mean, at least for me, you know, we have Six Flags up here where I am in New England. And, you know, it isn't about the attractions, although that's a great part of Disney. It's all the other stuff that makes up the magic. And it's just, you know, again, until you do it, you can't explain it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Barry, let's do a little Disney interview for you. What's your favorite park?
My favorite park is probably Magic Kingdom.
And in the Magic Kingdom, what's your go-to restaurant and what's your go-to ride? Like, what's the one ride Barry has to do every time he goes to the park?
Big Thunder Mountain.
Oh, there you go.
I was not, you know, I was never a big roller coaster guy. And then the first time I rode Space Mountain, I'm like, I'm never riding another roller coaster again. So I got on Big Thunder Mountain. I said, I'm riding roller coasters again. There's just something about that. It's fun. It's fast paced. You know, the queue is great. You know, how they made it so it's a little more interactive. But yep, Big Thunder Mountain.
Well, it's one of my favorites. Just all the woodworking in there, as you know, it's just beautiful in there. Like to me, the wood says so. The authenticness of it, it's just simple beauty inside that ride.
Yeah, yes, and I mean, exactly. When you're outside in the queue, I mean, if you happen to be standing in an hour plus line, they have all the old, you know, the metal equipment and stuff in the side of the mountain there. If you've ever had a chance to, you know, read some of those plaques and different things. It's just amazing what the Imagineers are able to do to, you know, lead you through the queue and up to the actual attraction. It's pretty amazing. So Barry, staying in the Magic Kingdom, do you have a favorite restaurant, both sit down and takeout, if you will?
Let's see. Probably sit down. You know what? Going to dinner at Be Our Guest. We did that this past February, and you know, we've been there for lunch, but the whole atmosphere, the whole mood changes for dinner, and it's just amazing. You know, it's amazing watching, especially my kids' face when they saw Beast, and you know, how
I was scared.
The West Wing, and just loved it. Yes.
Which dining hall did you actually dine in, Barry?
We dined in the main hall.
Nice, the big one, the one with the snow in the window, right?
Yeah, and but we've also have eaten a couple times in the West Wing, and that just blows my mind every time I go in there.
Beautiful restaurant.
It is, mm-hmm. And if you've watched the movie, as most of us have, I mean, it's just amazing how many elements from the movie they brought into the restaurant, and it's just a great job Disney did with that.
It's the Disney difference in there.
There you go. All right, what about quick service or something like that? What do you like to grab when you're in the Magic Kingdom?
Okay, for quick service, my wife says I'm not allowed to say Diamond Horseshoe anymore, so I won't say.
You got to listen to the wife, Barry. You're a smart man.
Exactly. So I will say Pecos Bill.
Okay. Burgers or salad?
Burgers, of course.
There you go.
Bars blow. It's just top rate.
Yeah. I've never been disappointed at Pecos Bill's. Their fixin' bar is one of the best out there.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean that's a staple for a lot of families, and you can never go wrong eating there. I agree.
So let's move you over to Epcot. What's your favorite ride over at Epcot?
I really want to say Three Caballeros, but
you can.
I would probably.
Me and Dennis like the TTA and the railroad at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, so I would say the Three Caballeros.
I that ride always puts a smile on my face. I do it every single time. We can't resist. We go in the Mexican Pavilion and have to get on the boat.
I'm just saying that to me, and I'm a traditionalist at heart when it comes to these attractions, and you know, Doug will rib me, and Barry, if you listen to any of our shows, you'll know how distraught I am over the loss of Maelstrom. But that kind of
did you see my tweet today? I was picking on you.
Yeah, I did.
Bring back the Frozen ride. I can't wait for the Frozen ride.
No, but the Three Caballeros ride there, I mean, to me, that screams classic Disney, and that's why I like it so much. I mean, it's not that it's a fast attraction or an exciting attraction, but to me, with Donald Duck, the way they incorporated him in there, and it's a water ride with a boat going through, and you got some audio animatronics in there, some movies. I mean, I love that. That, to me, that's, like you said earlier, Doug, the Disney difference.
Yeah, the music in there is what I like. It pumps you up.
Absolutely. I like your pick, Barry. That's a good one.
It's a different one. I like it. It's authentic. And what's your favorite restaurant, sit down and take out there, or counter services, as they officially call it?
Probably sit down, you know, staying with the UK theme. I love the Crown and Rose.
And we'll call it the Rose and Crown, but it's okay.
Yes.
Great choice.
You know, if you listen to our show, you know I love that bar.
Yep. Good food there. Yes.
Come on. Have you had the bangers and mash?
I have. And I've actually, when we went in February, we sat outside and we froze, but we enjoyed the food.
My great buddy, Den, did you hear on the show? He bought me a hat from there. That's how much Dennis loves me, bar.
Great.
Yeah, I snuck into one of those shops and got him a Rose and Crown hat, so that's all good. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Doug has made this point in the past. I mean, that's a great dining there, great food, and it's pretty reasonable for a Walt Disney World sit-down restaurant, so that's also a great choice.
And if you have to get a snack or a counter service around Epcot, where do you go, Barry? Where's your go-to indulgence?
Probably, I would say, probably the pretzels.
Okay. Stuffed pretzels, huh?
Yeah.
So you like the cheese-filled ones? You like the jalapeno ones? What do you prefer? Or just the plain?
If it's a pretzel, I will eat it.
Okay.
You'd love it around here. We get the authentic Philly soft pretzels. They don't get any better than that, man. You can go to an area up in Camden. They actually bake them fresh every day. When we were younger, we used to ride up there and we'd buy a case of them and bring them home in the morning. We'd get up and go up there like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning before we went to work and buy a case that just came out of the ovens.
Ooh, sounds good.
Oh, good stuff, man. Good old days.
Barry, just kind of loop back around to, the stuff that you're doing now. I'm just curious because this was always an issue for me when I first started listening to podcasts. It took me a while, but do you find you lose track of like who the hosts are for different shows, or does it matter to you? Like, with listening to so many shows and trying to remember names, or maybe not even remembering names, but just voices or familiar voices, how do you keep all that straight in your head as to who's who? And do you ever get mixed up that, Dan isn't on this podcast, it's actually Mike or vice versa? I'm just curious how you keep all that straight.
Well, you may have saw my tweet the other day. I actually did that with someone who was a guest on another podcast, but they actually have a podcast, and I got the name mixed up because the previous tweet that I put out, I put the name George, so the next the next podcast that I was tweeting about, I said, and George was on there as well, and George was on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they understood. I mean, it obviously wasn't intentional, but with all the podcasts you listen to, I mean, it's inevitable that you might, have a slip up here and there. I mean, it's just because I know how hard it was. I mean, I'll just tell the story. WDW today, it took me almost 3 months of listening to them to figure out which voice was Hotchberg versus Scopa versus Len Testa. I mean, and those are well-known people, but I mean, where you're listening to sometimes what, seven, eight podcasts a day? Do you take notes? I'm just curious, or do you just do it all on the fly?
Well,
No,
our two voices, he's never going to mix up with anybody.
No,
no,
that's true.
yeah, your guys' voices are easy because I'm an East Coast guy, so I kind of, it's kind of easy to remember that. But no, what I try to do is I try to take a mental note of what I liked and what I didn't like about a podcast. And it's easier if it's a weekly podcast. There's a couple out there that are daily podcasts. I do not understand, and I do not know how they do that, because I would think after 6 months you would run out of things to talk about.
But I told
But
Dennis
no.
the same thing. Dennis used to be worried about that too. But you know something, Bear? Me and him could start right now talking about a chair in the Rosenground Pub for 20 minutes that we both sat on. Because we're such Disney geeks, you know what I mean? So I know what you're saying, but when we get going, it's hard to stop us sometimes.
Yeah, so going back to what I was saying, it's more of I try to pick out the three things that I'm really looking for. The interaction, the topic, obviously the timing. From there, I try to say, okay, the topic, even if I don't like the topic, I will at least give you a listen. I will listen to your whole podcast. I think it's funny because, especially when I was talking about the March Madness, how everybody seems to go to the same topic. A lot of shows, diversity is a big thing with me, and I appreciate those that don't run behind everybody else, but takes their own path.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and there are things that happen cyclically over the Disney year, if you will, where, like for instance, we were very heavy with Flower and Garden the last, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or whatever. We have our buddy Bob from All in WDW on, and he's down there and he tastes the different foods and stuff like that. But again, you're probably right, Barry, that there's probably a whole bunch of podcasts that are also doing flower and garden type shows and talking about the food and such. So I get what you're saying, but you know, again, we do what we like and what we like to talk about. And, you know, I always look at it as, you know, if the listeners want to listen to what we have to say about a particular topic, great. And if not, you know, maybe they don't listen to that show and they come back when we move on to something else.
Yeah. And like I was saying, I think a big part of it is it's how you present it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you present it like, hey, you know, you need to be an Epcot, or hey, you know, guess what? It's the Flower and Garden Show again. You know, it's, you know, you want to get the listeners, you know, hooked. And if I'm hooked, I'm hooked. And there's,
you got to add a little personality to it and make right. it a little fun. Make it not so computerized or so, you know, we want to make it fun for you guys. Add our two cents. Talk about Dennis choking on one of the chili, the Billy's
yes.
chili or something like that. That's how you make a show. That's what I enjoy. Yeah. It's the personal interaction that me and Dan have. So, like, if anybody else is covering it, if we give our own little view on it, it makes it different.
Right. Yeah, and with you, you know, I always know when I have when you come up in the rotation after, you know, I download the podcast, I know you're going to say, you know, pull up a stool, you know, and in my head, I'm pulling up a little milk crate sitting next to you guys and just listening.
It's kind of invite you into our – I do it because it kind of invites you into our little world is the way I want it to be, make you feel comfortable.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and you're right, Doug, and, you know, and Barry, because there are plenty of shows out there, and there's a place for them, and I listen to some of them that are very, like I said earlier, factual, and they'll give you, you know, what the Disney Parks blog is saying today and, you know, what's happening, events and times and dates and all that stuff. And again, if you're planning a vacation and you need to have accurate information like that, you definitely – there's a need for those shows. And like I said, I listen to some of them, and I get information for some of them. But, you know, our show is more conversational and, you know, talking about Disney. And, you know, yeah, we do a news segment at the front end of, you know, most of our shows. But we try to kind of get through that and get on to our topic of the podcast, if you will. So, you know, it's a mix.
Yeah, because I feel like everybody should, like me and Dennis, like to give our two cents. I think that's what everybody's listening for, to see what us two knuckleheads have to say about the latest news at Disney World. And me and Dennis's favorite shows, to be honest with you, like mine, one of mine, I told him today, is I love The First Thing You Think Of, because it just brings up any kind of topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never know where we're going to go with that show.
Right. Yeah, and another big thing, and you both hit on it, is that, you know, and I think a lot of times podcasts don't think about it, is interaction. You know, we mentioned earlier about, you know, sitting at the bar chatting or sitting by the fishing hole. If you're going into it, you know, thinking that you're Tom Brokaw or Dan Rather, you're going to lose a lot if there's not enough, you know, not going into it thinking that, you know, this is the show. Everyone loves this show. If you don't have the passion or if you don't have the heart, you know, it really, you really defeat the purpose of the show.
Yeah, we enjoy going off the cuff as much as possible. Like 90% of the time, Dan, wouldn't you say I don't even tell you where we're going, because I want everything to be authentic. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, other than, you know, we'll talk about a couple of news, you know, points that we want to get out there. And again, it's less about the facts of the news, because like I said, there's plenty of places to get that, but it's more of our opinions and our back and forth on what we think about the new boathouse restaurant at, you know, Disney Springs, or, you know, how come those prices are so outrageous or whatever. That's more what I want to get into. I mean, yeah, we'll talk about the menu itself, but to me, that's secondary. It's more the discourse between you and I and what we think about a $115 steak or whatever it might be.
So let's head you over to the studios. What's your favorite ride there, Bar?
My favorite ride at Hollywood Studios. Let's see. Well, it's probably not considered a ride, but Toy Story Mania.
I love that. Dennis is not a big fan. He likes it, but he's not over the top. Dennis is a great movie ride guy.
I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I prefer the slower rides or the older attractions. But no, I'll go on Toy Story Musical Mania or whatever it's
Or
called.
Midway Mania, but it's okay.
Whatever, Mr. Potato Head. But yeah, as long as there's not too long of a wait, or if I can grab a Fast Pass Plus, I will do it. But it's not one of my all-time favorites. But it is a great attraction,
I
no
love the
doubt.
queue in there as much as the ride, as everybody who listens to this show knows. I could
Right.
sit there and look at Mousetrap and Mr. Potato Head and Lincoln Logs all day. Well, no, where's your go-to restaurant there, Bear?
I would do the classic because we've been there a lot. The Sci-Fi Diner.
Okay. You like the drive-in car.
Yeah, it always impresses my kids when we go in there, and they like the ambiance of the whole place in there.
It's good times there, or like me and Dan, we're both 50s prime time guys.
Yeah, I could have gone. I mean, we've done that before. A little funny story is my second oldest son went with us last the time before, and he got scolded for having his elbows on the table, and he asked if he can have some crayons because he wanted to draw. Well, he was 11 at the time. Well, he drew a picture of the waitress as a devil, and she liked it so much she hung it up on the refrigerator.
Yeah, they did to my 50-year-old brother because he didn't eat all his beans. She played airplane and made him eat the rest of his green beans so he could have dessert.
Yeah,
I
it's
got
always a
pictures of that.
always a good time there. But the sci-fi dine in there is, we haven't eaten there in years, but I mean, putting the food quality aside, I mean, it does take a lot of heat for the basically middle of the road food, let's just call it.
Right.
But I mean, kids of today, they don't even know what a drive-in is or was or whatever. So that is a unique experience that you could share with your kids and maybe tell them something about, you did when you were a kid or you remember doing when you were a kid, actually going to a drive-in. So it's kind of a educational thing too, as well as fun eating in the dark and in the cars that are parked in there as well.
Now, over at the Animal Kingdom, Bear, please don't tell me it's Expedition Everest.
No.
Thank you. Good job. You're my buddy now.
It's always tough because Animal Kingdom becomes
You can
half.
do a Lou Mangiello and give it two if you have to.
I'll
You
say
okay?
I will go with attraction. I'll say it's tough to be a bug. That's
That's
my
good
favorite thing.
times. I love the stink bug. He reminds me of my brother.
What were you? It seemed like you were kind of struggling. Were you considering Dinosaur or one of the other attractions, or Kilimanjaro Safari, or?
Well, I do like Dinosaur, but if I had to pick a ride, it'd be Dinosaur. But overall, my favorite thing is it's tough to be a bug.
Tough to Be a Bug's awesome. I literally cried. My wife had to bring me back from my drastic tears the last time we were there because it was under refurbishment. It's the first time, and I can't even count how many trips since that's been open that I haven't done it at least once. So it really
Yeah.
broke my heart. She's gonna have to sit through it three times in the fall if we go when we go back.
No, that is a great attraction, and I always say this, and I think it gets shot. It doesn't get the play that it should. That hopper audio.
Pollinators. I'm sorry.
No, don't sing on the show, whatever
Okay.
you do. No, no, but that hopper audio animatronic is probably one of the best on property. I mean, if you really take the time to look at it, it's got so many moving parts, and it does play a critical role in the show. I love that, and you know, again, when we've talked about audio animatronics across property, it just never seems to get any play. But to me, it's one of the best. I don't know what you guys think.
Oh, it's awesome. I remember the first time he came out, I even jumped. And my stepfather, Hutch, he's definitely afraid of spiders. He's the truck driver, the whole nine yards, big guy. When those spiders dropped out of the ceiling, I didn't tell him. I knew he was going to have a heart attack. And he jumped like a five-year-old little girl, 50 feet in the air, being scared by a big old bear. I mean, it was funny. I mean, all the little kids turned around and looked at him like, you sissy.
Yeah, no, that is a great attraction. All of those 3D, 4D, you know, Muppets, It's a Bug's Life, you know, all of them, Mickey's PhilharMagic, those shows are, again, what sets Disney apart from Six Flags or someplace like that. I mean, it's just awesome entertainment for the whole family, I think.
Now, your go-to food at the Animal Kingdom?
Either Flaming Tree Barbecue or now I'm thinking out loud.
Okay, we don't like dead air, so think out loud as much as you need to.
I do like Tusker House. I know a lot of people don't like it.
I enjoy it there.
I like it. You know, it makes my kids happy, so I'll go with Tusker House.
Now, have you ever done Yak and Yeti?
I have not.
You got to try the Yak and Yeti, and you got to get the fried wontons and split them with the kids, and tell them Doug from WDW Main Street suggested this. Your kids will love you for that. If you give them any, after you taste the first skewer, you might not want to share, Bear.
Oh, I'm not a very good sharer when it comes to food. So.
And you want to know something? The menu there is very diverse. They have it's Asian infused, but you have hamburgers and chicken wings, and we were shocked the one time we ate there. My wife was actually in the mood for ribs, and I was like, oh goodness, these aren't going to be good. And when they came out, they were so tender, they fell off the bone. They were incredible. The food there is really good. I've probably eaten there 8-9 times. It's awesome.
Wow.
So try that the next time you go, on my recommendation.
Sounds good.
So, well, Barry, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We really enjoy everything and appreciate everything you do for us out there.
Well, I thank you for having me, and it's truly my pleasure to do it because there's a niche, and I'm trying to fill the niche. So,
I was just gonna say, Barry, like I said earlier, you're doing great work, and I commend you for just kind of jumping into the shark pool because, you know, it takes a lot of courage to launch a not a campaign, but you know, your whole you know, everything you're doing with the Twitter and the voting and everything. I mean, you probably didn't know any of us, and you know, still don't personally. But you know, to just jump in and kind of take the bull by the horns, it takes a special person to do that. So I commend you for it, and I enjoy it, and I like voting in the polls. Although I kind of vote for WDW Main Street, but nevertheless, it is enjoyable, and I've got to know some other podcasts, like I said, and I hope to, you know, Doug and I will talk it over and see if we can participate in the mashup and, you know, kind of, you know, communicate with you and keep this whole thing going.
And if there's something special you want to get out there, you want to come on again in the future, if there's something we can do, because I seen you were talking about you needed some help with the podcast or helping, I know what it's like going through this, trying to figure the whole thing out. If you have any questions, feel free to email us or DM us, and we'd be glad to help you as much as we possibly can. Because we think of everybody in the Disney podcast community as brothers, and we like everybody. You know, we're just doing this for us and the fans, and we appreciate everybody listening to us. But we're willing to help any show out there, and that's just the way we feel, and we'd be glad to help you with anything we could help you with.
Well, that's great. You know, I consider us all friends. I think there's just something unique about the Disney community and how, you know, we're all for one cause. And yeah, and like I said before, it's a pleasure to do this. I'm always excited to see when people find a new podcast that I may have mentioned and that, and I just think it's going to make the community better for it.
Well, keep up the great work. Do you want to plug anything, Barr?
Sure. You can follow me. I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is DisneyPods. I also have a website. It's DisneyPodcastSurvivor.Weebly.com. And I also have a Facebook page, and it's Disney Podcast Survivor.
Well, keep up the great work, Barr. We really enjoyed having you on the show. And speaking of, you know, our show, if you guys could please, we really need reviews over at iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And that's all we're going to beg for this week. Just give us some reviews over there on iTunes. Tell them, Dan, to help us out.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And I always say this, you know, I've done it for a lot of other shows, but it is kind of a pain to click through and you got to go to the main page and all that. But if you enjoy our show or we give you any enjoyment at all during your week or in between Disney trips, that would pay us immensely and we'd be forever grateful if you left us an iTunes review.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. It's been a joy. I will pay this week. I'll pick up the tab. You leave the tip, Dan. How's that sound?
All right. You must have the WDW Main Street credit card. Awesome.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Barr, and you guys have a wonderful rest of your week.
Later.
Bye. Bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.